All right, and we know it's time now for the Sunny Side of Sports with Sunny Young. And happy Thursday, Sunny.
Happy Thursday, Kim.
Well, Sunny, I understand you have a preview of Friday's quarterfinal matches at the World Cup.
Kim, we've reached the quarterfinal stage at the Football World Cup in Brazil. There are two matches on Friday. France versus Germany will kick things off with an all-European match in Rio de Janeiro. And then Brazil will host Colombia in an all-South American encounter in Fortaleza. Our football guru, David Legg, says he's eagerly awaiting the France-Germany quarterfinal.
Now, there's another great battle to look forward to. I hope not literally a battle, because in the past, some of the matches between Germany and France have turned into battles. No love lost between these European neighbors. I would just give Germany the odds in their favor because of their great record in the World Cup.
David, let's take a look at a spicy South American matchup. Brazil against Colombia. Colombia, one of the surprise teams at this tournament. Your thoughts?
Yes, Sonny. Well, this one's going to be, I suppose, seen as the battle between Neymar, the well-established Brazilian star, and a name that's really come out of this 2014 World Cup, James Rodriguez of Colombia, currently the top scorer in the competition with 5 goals. He scored a superb goal against Uruguay, and I believe Colombia are as good as Chile, and Chile came incredibly close to eliminating Brazil. I think the Brazilians can get through, but I think they're in for a roller coaster 90 minutes. It could go to an extra 30 minutes. Colombia looked really good against Uruguay. Admittedly, Uruguay went out Luis Suarez for certain reasons, which I'm sure, Sonny, everybody on the Voice of America knows well about now. I suppose I should congratulate Senor Suarez. He has apologized. And the Italian, he bit Cellini, said that the matter is done and dusted. So let's hope the biting is over. But yes, Sonny, that South American one, I'll just give it to Brazil, but don't underestimate Colombia for a minute.
David, overall, how would you rate the performance by Brazil? Some people saying they've been kind of a letdown so far.
Yes, Sonny, I would go along with that to an extent. They certainly haven't been the overwhelming, dominant Brazil that I think a lot of people expected. If we just look at their record, 2 wins and 2 draws in 4 matches. Not exactly scintillating form. But nevertheless, they rolled their luck against Chile. The Chileans hitting the bar in the last minute of stoppage time. And that's often a sign, Sonny, of a team that is going to go far. And I just think they can shade Colombia. If they get through that one, Sonny, they would face France or Germany in the semifinals.
David, all 3 goals in the Germany-Algeria match scored in extra time. How about some details?
Yes, Sonny, and from the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
And the Sunny Side of Sport, a big high five to the Algerian Desert Foxes. They did Africa proud indeed. They were a team that we didn't really believe could even make it to the last 16, but not only did they make it, but they gave the Germans one hell of a fight. No goal, Sonny, after 90 minutes. The Germans had the majority of possession, but the Algerians always looked dangerous on the counter-attack. Gone was the hyper-caution they showed against Belgium in their first match. This was a much-improved Desert Foxes team. And unfortunately, 2 minutes into extra time, Schuller put the Germans ahead, and then Ozil scored just before full-time. But in the tradition of the Algerians, they refused to wave the white flag of surrender, and Jabou scored 1 minute into stoppage time at the end of extra time. They rushed back to the center circle. They wanted to get the match restarted, but alas, time was against them. So a really sad exit for the Algerians, but they can hold their heads very high, and especially their coach, the Bosnian Vahid Halilhodžić. He's come under fierce criticism from the Algerian media. They call him arrogant. They call him flippant. But he proved at this World Cup that he is a really good, top-class international coach.
David, it seemed like the Desert Foxes were playing very nice football. Even in the group stage, they were always very competitive. What do you think?
Yes, Sonny, except for that first match. I thought against Belgium, they gave the Belgians far too much respect. They were deep inside their own half. You will recall, of course, that they got a penalty and the Algerians took a lead that they held on 20 minutes from the end, but then the Belgians scored twice. But we saw a resurgent Algerian side against the South Koreans, 3 goals in 12 minutes. Really amazing for the Algerians, because before that, they hadn't scored a goal in the World Cup since 1986. Now they scored 3 in 12 minutes, a truly transformed side. They went on to win that match 4-2. They battled a bit early in the game against a Russian side that had to win to pip the Algerians for second spot. But the Algerians gradually came back into the game and deservedly equalized through Islam Slimani in the 60th minute. And at the end, really, were the better side of a 1-1 draw. And then against the Germans, I wondered, could they match the steamroller? Remember the German record in the World Cup? 2002, second place. 2006, third place. 2010, third place. One of the great sides of the World Cup. They've won the title 3 occasions. But the Algerians, Sonny, were in no ways embarrassed. Okay, the Germans had more chances, but the Algerians fought right till the end. Some of that slick counter-attacking, beautiful interpassing, was a joy to watch.
David, the indomitable Lions of Cameroon were not a joy to watch in Brazil. They lost all 3 of their matches, just like they did in South Africa 4 years ago. And now more controversy swirling around Cameroon, match-fixing allegations. VOA! Can you update our VOA football fans?
Yes, I mean, just when you think that Cameroon football has plumbed to the depths like never before, something else crops up. First of all, it was the players being sent off, the heavy defeats, the fact that Eto'o, for all his big talk before the tournament, played a very small role in the only game in which he did play. Then you had one Cameroonian trying to headbutt another. And now we've got this disclosure from Der Spiegel, a German magazine, claims by a Singaporean, Wilson Permabal, a convicted fraudster. He says that before the match, he predicted that Cameroon would lose 4-0 to Croatia and that a player from Cameroon would be sent off. As we all know now, Song was sent off during the first half, and lo and behold, Cameroon lost that match 4-0. From Cameroon itself, Sonny, comes news that the Cameroonian officials are concerned that there could be up to 7 rotten apples, as they call them, in the squad. And they're now saying they're employing all means necessary to try and get to the bottom of this. But it's very worrying. What FIFA are saying at this stage is they're letting Cameroon get on with the match-fixing probe. Sonny, I don't think there have been darker days for Cameroonian football. It's quite a long time now, back to 1990. We had Roger Miller with that famous corner flag celebration after his goals. The team reaching the quarterfinals, the first African side to reach the quarterfinals. But, you know, since then, it's been downhill all the way. They've played 15 matches in 5 appearances at the World Cup, and they've won only one. And with the greatest of respect, beating Saudi Arabia is not exactly an earth-shattering achievement. So the Cameroon of today, I'm afraid, a very distant memory from the one of 1990.
Cameroon, not the only African team to be caught up in bonus disputes in Brazil, David. Ghana and Nigeria also. And it even went to the highest levels of FIFA. Jerome Valka spoke out about the situation.
What has to be done for the future World Cup is to make sure that, firstly, there is an agreement between the players and their national associations for the payment of the bonuses or whatever they have as an agreement between their national association and the team. It is sad that we end up with such a story where they were talking about somewhere about a strike and the players will not play, they don't receive the money. I mean, what is sad is all the way it happens. And yes, it happens even in 2006 with Togo, so it's not the first time. And we will make sure that for the future tournaments, we are asking all the national associations who are qualified to provide us with the agreement between the players and their national associations to make sure that this kind of episode will not happen again.
Yes, Annie, this has really put such a damper on the African participation at the World Cup. It is capturing so many international headlines. I wonder at times about the intelligence level of the players. Don't they realize that the $8 million you get for competing at the tournament, you get paid after the tournament? So how are these officials supposed to give them these bonuses, and it's questionable whether some of these players actually deserve them, when they haven't got the money themselves? Yes, the players are obviously very conscious of the fact that in the past, allegedly, officials have been taking a lot more of this money than they should have. And my own opinion, Sonny, is I agree with the comments of Patrick Suffel, a former Cameroon striker, who said neither the officials nor the players should be getting this money. This money, in the case of teams going out in the first round, it's $8 million. And in the second round, in the case of Nigeria and Algeria, it's $9 million. That money should be going to build facilities for the stars of the future in Africa. I'm absolutely steadfast in my belief on this. It should not be going to the likes of Samuel Eto'o. He's already incredibly rich. He doesn't need another couple of $100,000. But the youngsters, the children of Cameroon, do need that money. They need it for pitches. They need it for training facilities. And that's where the money should be going.
In fact, David, I caught a report about Greece's World Cup team and how they want their bonus money to be allocated. And they basically must have been listening to David Legg on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
They said they want their bonuses to be used to build a new training venue for the national team.
Yeah, well picked up, Sonny. In fact, I have a note of that. I just applaud the Greeks. I think that is fantastic. They've said they don't want a cent of bonus money. It must all go towards a national center where the national team can prepare for future matches. That is the right attitude.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from...